Good morning to everybody here that is worshiping with us. We'd like to gather and call God to be in our presence by singing the song 353, Lord, listen to your children praying. 353, very simple hymn, and we'll sing it twice. Let's stand, please. There's an excitement in the air. I feel it. Maybe it's the sunshine. We're not like the east where there's more snow in winter. So we're thankful for the weather and the feeling of spring coming. Shirley has a birthday today. Maybe that's why it's kind of, you know, humming in that corner. And Lloyd, who's not here, so happy birthday to them. And there's more coming this week, I think, if you look at your calendar. So wish them happy birthdays this week. Welcome here, and may you feel the Spirit of God in this place as we pray and sing and hear the words of God. As I was thinking this week about what to share on the Sunday after Easter, and asking myself, where do we go from here with our lives, I was reminded of the familiar story we often tell in Sunday school, which is the story about the two people walking on the road to Emmaus. They recalled the events of the Easter weekend, and I was thinking about how they were retelling those events to the stranger that all of a sudden appeared beside them. And in our Sing the Story, number 98, there is a poem in a song called On the Journey to Emmaus. And I liked the way the author wrote it. And I thought I would read it. And maybe you can, if you would like to follow along, it's 98. Maybe you can put yourself on that road, be the two people that were talking and reminiscing and feeling sad. And how would you have responded? On the journey to Emmaus with our hearts cold as stone, the one who would save us had left us alone. Then a stranger walks with us, and to our surprise, he opens our stories and he opens our eyes. And our hearts burned within us as we talked on the way, how all that was promised was ours on that day. So we begged him, stay with us and grant us your word. We welcomed the stranger and we welcomed the Lord. And that evening at the table, as he blessed and broke bread, we saw it was Jesus, arisen from the dead. Though he vanished before us, we knew he was near, the life in our dying and the hope in our fear. On our journey to Emmaus, in our stories and feast, with Jesus we claim that the greatest is least. And his words burn within us. Let none be ignored who welcome the stranger shall welcome the Lord. As a response, could we read the call to worship then in your bulletins. Open our ears
to hear your word.
Open our eyes
to see your presence.
Open our arms
to embrace community.
Open our minds
to communicate our truth.
Open our hearts
to the joy of new life.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather to worship here this morning and be reminded of all the goodness you have given us. Help us to see the stranger and respond with care and love. Bless this time as we worship together. Amen. We'd like to gather as we are and sing the song, The Mountain of God, It's Voices Together, number 11. And it will be on the screen. Let us stand. Thank you. We're learning that song really quite well. The next song of praise is 10,000 Reasons. Do we have that many reasons to thank our Lord? We can start and try, right? So 111 if you're using the book.
Sing with me, Lord, before. Good morning and welcome here to all of you. For those who are thinking about inviting friends to come back, you know, now that it's safe, we're not hiding from COVID anymore, we see that we have a few empty seats that are still available. So tell your friends, don't worry about coming too terribly early to grab a good seat. We have some empty spaces. And we're happy to have anyone come, even if it's just for one Sunday, you know, to test the waters and then go back to other practices and then think, that was kind of a good time I had at Zion Mennonite. Maybe I'll try it again. So those of us who are here, let's not be discouraged if people come and then don't come back every Sunday. Just keep asking, keep inviting, and keep expecting. We don't know what the Lord is doing, where the Spirit is working. We just continue to gather and praise God and encourage one another. And that's what I'm here to do today. We're gathered. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to share. And let's see what kind of opportunities we have this week. This afternoon, most of you have the opportunity to go outside and spend your time in the bright, warm sunshine before the mosquitoes and flies come out. However, six of us will gather here, your executive, and we're having a meeting at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So as you are enjoying your free time, remember those that you have chosen, that you have sponsored, to act on your behalf. We're trying to be faithful. On Thursday afternoon, the Board of Music and Worship will gather together and look towards planning the next session. On that note, I want to also remind you that there is a yellow piece of paper on the back bulletin board that is full of empty squares. This is not bingo, please. All of you who live at Riverview, I know, I know what you enjoy. But this one, if you put your name down, you're just saying, yeah, I'll organize that Sunday through the summer. And then we can have a little bit more variety. Some people get bored with having the same thing each Sunday. Other people like it. We're all different. So if you think maybe there's one Sunday that you could organize, you could haul in a few of your friends and bring them together, I'm sure everyone would appreciate it. We see congratulations to Naomi. If you are on email or if you have a text or something, we've sent cards around to the College and Career, but I'm sure she would love to hear all our good wishes and congratulations. There's a new number for Sigrid. We got the numbers a little bit mixed up the last time, but there it is. If you want to phone Sigrid Workentin, she's now living where, what is it? Life Makes Sense. Isn't that right? Swift Current? That's, nobody knows here. I guess it's not true. Yes, it is Riverview, but I mean Swift Current as opposed to Calgary. That's where I was going with that. I know, I'm vague. You also have an opportunity to get out and help clean up Camp Elam from the winter and to join together. You see something at the bottom there, that second to last sentence, come and go as you wish. I never saw that before. I thought it was you come in the morning and you stay until it's done. But here you can come, and if you get tired, you can go home, have a nap, come back, pretend you were there the whole day. Whatever. I'm sure it's all appreciated. Monday, that's tomorrow, the Oratorio Choir is going to have a short spring concert right here. 50% of the proceeds go to the Ukrainian Humanitarian Relief. Part of it is supporting the Oratorio Choir, which we love to do, and to support the situation in the Ukraine. Do you want to look at the back? I won't go through all of these because most of these are repeats, but notice there's a whole backside to your bulletin. Lots of information there, different ways of getting involved. Notice May 15th, though, that's 2 weeks from today. We're going to have a very special Sunday. Clarence Peters and his bluegrass band, they will present the entire service. And he reminded me on the phone the other day, we need a full 50 minutes. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Don't think you're going to be doing all your normal stuff plus us. So if you want to invite friends, that's a good Sunday to do it. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the life that you have granted us. Thank you for the breath, your breath, in our lungs. You breathed into the human, gave us your life from beginning to end. And we pray that you would give us the strength and the will to use that life for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. Thank you for this place and this special day set aside to worship you. We confess that we are human and that we prefer to do other things, or we're distracted, or so many other things, and we confess that to you. As you've said, we can come, we can confess, and you will cleanse us, and you will show us the direction to newness of life. We eagerly desire your newness, your freshness of life in the midst of our pain and our struggle. All of these go together at the same time, and we bring them to you. Our own personal struggles, as well as the struggles of our friends, our relatives, and people around the world that we have never even met. We pray for the areas where there is conflict, war, displacement, so much violence, and we pray that your peace would come. We pray for your kingdom here on earth. This is what we're looking for, and we ask that you would give us the strength to continue to look for that and to know that your purposes are being carried out on the earth in your time. Thank you for the encouragement that we have through all of these other churches in Swift Current, and so we pray for them, but also for the other churches in the province. We remember the other Mennonite churches, especially today, Pleasant Point Mennonite and their pastor. And we pray for St. Stephen's Presbyterian Church here in town. So many things to pray for, so many people to remember in a world full of turmoil. But help us to remember you. As we have come to present ourselves before you, receive this offering. And we ask that you would bless the offering of money that we have brought to you. We pray that your blessing would be on it. Open our eyes and our hearts to follow your direction for our church and for us in our lives, as we live our individual lives and then come back to this community. We ask for your blessing on Zion Mennonite Church. And so we pray with one voice, just the way you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us take our blue book, hymnal 614. I think it's a favorite hymn for many people. In the bulb there is a flower. There is hope in the unknown, and it's just very, I don't know. My mother-in-law always says, what would I do without my faith? How could I live on? And she says that over and over, and this song says it all as well. You may remain seated.
Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from Psalm 150, verses. Is that better? This morning's reading is from Psalm 150, verses 1 to 6, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with a tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. And praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What do I have to bring? That's the title for this morning. And when I told it to Grace, her immediate response was, "That sounds like potluck." And very recently, we had something like that. Last weekend was the first time that we had gathered together in that way. both on Thursday, and then we came again on Friday, and we came again on Sunday morning. And some of those times we did bring things along with us. What do I have to bring? And if you say it differently, or you hear it differently, or you read it differently, there's a different emphasis. And some of us will be thinking, oh, what do I have to bring? Am I wrong? You know, as soon as there is something organized, oh boy, I have to look in my cupboards, I have to look in the fridge, I have to find a recipe, I have to get up early, I have to. What do I have to bring? And even our worship committee, you know, that gathers together and we try to create visuals that enhance our worship experience together, not only on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. Anytime you come into this space, we want there to be an impact by what you see and what you experience. What do I have to bring? What do I have to bring? But there's another way to think about it. What do I have to bring? What do I have which I can bring? Throughout the time of Lent, that was a lot of weeks, especially for those who decided they would do without something. 6 long, tedious, tiring weeks of confession and brownness. I'm one who loves color, so it's very difficult to continuously have no color up here. All of, even these fake trees, you know, without them, everything seems bare and dry. The journey through the wilderness just goes on and on and on. Seems like it'll never end. And then when it does end, and that explosion of beauty and color and vibrancy and joy and all of those things, for a day, one day of Easter. That was last Sunday. And you know what? I was impressed and shocked at the same time last weekend with the speed with which this group, this congregation, you look around and you think, well, we're getting a little old. We're slowing down. Well, you're not slowing down when it comes to cleaning up, let me tell you. If you were there on Thursday evening, I turned my back and suddenly everything was gone. Everything was cleaned up, chairs, tables, dishes, food, absolutely everything. There were a few straggling people left behind. And we were wondering, what happened? Same thing happened on Sunday morning. And I say this with congratulations because everyone pitches in, all hands on deck. And then, you know, lots of hands make light work. Remember that on May, what day is that, Carla? At Camp Elam, cleanup day. 14. Many hands make light work. And that's what happened here on Easter Sunday morning after we finished our brunch. Swoop, 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 and everything was gone. All the decorations were gone. Jewel spent so much time and care putting everything in place. And then it was gone. And here too, within 24 hours, and then it was gone. Is that how we feel about Easter? Is that the effect that Easter has on our life? And you say, oh, those are two totally different things. Yes, they are two totally different things. And yet, they all come together in our lives. And after one day of celebration, do we allow that impact, the reality and the truth that we experienced physically, spiritually, viscerally, about the resurrection? Death has been conquered. Eternal life is ours. The way to God is open. And we can live full and free lives. But does that have only an impact on one day? Do we just clean it up? Okay, next. Now I have to go to work. School vacation is over. Time to get back to our regular habits. The question I was asking myself, in light of this Easter Sunday, in light of this huge celebration, the culmination of the entire week, not just the culmination of Lent. Sorry, not the entire week, the entire year, the whole calendar year, culminating in that one event of Easter Sunday, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In light of this, what kind of people ought we to be? Now, that is not my own personal quote, that is scripture. First, no, 2 Peter 3:11. Peter asks the same thing. In light of this, what kind of people ought we to be? So it's not an event out there that we experience or we see or even that we participate in. We look at this event, this information, this knowledge that gets stored up here, and then in light of this, how should that change who I am? How should that inform who I am? Do we hide behind our belief system? This is what I believe, and we can roll it out and say this and this and this is what I believe. And these are not bad things, to know the things that we believe. But how does that change who I am? I remember the morning after I had accepted Jesus, and I use this language, I accepted Jesus into my heart. We all have different words for that experience. And for some, it's a very defined moment. For others, it's a lifelong process. But the morning after, and I woke up and I thought, uh-oh, now what? Now I'm supposed to be so different. I knew things should be different, but I didn't know how. I didn't know what I should look like. And I asked, really, what do I have to bring? What am I supposed to bring into this life that is now supposed to be so completely different? And here we have a very succinct answer in Psalm 150. Mel was so disappointed that there were only 6 verses. I told him he could read it twice. He declined. I would invite you all to read it more than once. I get a little bored with the Psalms because they seem so repetitive. Maybe there's a reason for that. But let's take a look at Psalm 150. And in 3 easy steps, it presents us with 3 problems if we are hiding behind our faith system. If we're hiding behind our faith system. First problem, right here, number 1, or it's verse 1. The first problem is the problem with leveling. That's our first problem, the problem with leveling. I'll give you all 3 problems so you know where we're heading. The second problem is the problem with the past. That's a problem that we have. And the third problem is our problem with noise. So those are our 3 problems. And here is how the psalmist actually presents the problems to us. Now you're thinking, what? This is not a psalm full of problems. Why are you creating a problem where there is no problem? Let's take a look at it. First, the psalmist tells us where we should praise the Lord. First thing he says, I say he, it's probably David, could have been anyone else in the name of David. He says, praise the Lord where? Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Okay, so that answers a question that we hadn't even asked. Where should I praise God? And why do I say there's a problem here? The problem with leveling. The leveling I'm talking about is in the Mennonite tradition. We're all a priesthood of believers, isn't that right? And we don't believe in this hierarchy where people have positions over and over. one another. Oh, I'm a step higher than you are. No, we are all at the same level. Everything is done in community. We try to agree with each other. Another kind of leveling that we tend to do in our faith system is, let's say, for communion, we have the wine and the bread, and we say it is a symbol of Christ's body and blood. Now you're all holding your breath. What on earth is she going to say about communion? Don't worry, don't worry. Just relax, breathe a little bit. I can feel your tension. Just breathe out. Okay, the leveling is when we say, oh, these are just symbols. Did you hear that little word? Just. They're just symbols. And our baptism is just a symbol. That's why we just pour a little bit of water, sometimes even just sprinkling, like reduce the amount of water usage. We're very conscientious about how much water we use. It's just a symbol. And this building, what is this building? What is this place? It's just brick and mortar. It's just cement and wood. It's just a building. My question is nothing sacred anymore? You've heard that said before, haven't you? Have we asked ourselves that? Is nothing sacred anymore? Even to us, because we're so used to reducing the sanctity and the sacraments, we don't even use that language. And here the psalmist reminds us, praise God in his sanctuary. And do we realize that there are places that God has set aside as places for God's self to dwell? What is our name? Zion. And what does Zion mean? It's the place where God dwells. We come into this building so casually because we've leveled it all off. Every place is the same. People say, oh, I don't have to go to church on a Sunday morning. I can worship God anywhere. Yes, you can. You can. But when we have that mindset, we tend not to. And we tend to reduce every place to exactly the same, and then we don't worship God anywhere. Rather than saying, I can worship God everywhere, we tend not to worship God anywhere. The psalmist reminds us, come into the place where God dwells. Bring yourself into the presence of God. Praise God in God's sanctuary. And you can be reminded that the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and there is God's sanctuary. Praise God in God's sanctuary. Throughout the Psalms, the psalmist reminds us, praise God in God's sanctuary, where God dwells. Our second problem, going on from where, is the problem of why. The psalmist reminds us, why should we praise God? Verse 2, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his surpassing greatness. And our problem is the problem with the past. Because the psalmist is talking about the amazing deeds that God has done, past, right? But for the last 6 weeks, we have been saying, along with Isaiah, don't dwell on the past. That's Isaiah 43:18. Don't dwell on the past. God says, I am doing a new thing, right? Or in Philippians, when Paul says, forgetting the past, I press on towards the future. And our problem then is to discern, am I supposed to forget the past? Or am I supposed to look at the past? Am I supposed to remember? What am I supposed to do here? There seems to be a contradiction. And when we're forgetting about everything past and looking eagerly for what new thing God is going to do, we don't realize that, hey, I can remember who God is according to God's amazing deeds of the past. Isn't that what our whole Bible is talking about? The amazing ways that God has freed God's people. All of the historical victories that God has shown to God's people, overcome so many different things for the sake of the people. This is who God is. Praise God for those victories. There's a phrase that has gone around in a totally different context. If you see something, say something. You've heard that? See something, say something. Same applies here. Let's take it out of that context and use it for ourselves. If you see something that God has done in your life, say something. Say it. We tend to be thankful and pray with thanksgiving in our prayer closets, but we don't always share those stories with one another. We keep silence. Remember the ways that God has worked in your life in the past. You don't even have to go throughout all of history, but just think about your history and the amazing ways that God has worked for you. You've seen it. You've experienced it. Praise God for it. Also, share it. We tend to tell people, you've got to get over that. Get over it. Move on. And then we don't remember or praise God for the past. And then when we come up to a new issue, we forget that this God is the one who brought us through all of these other things in our lives. Our problem with the past. The third thing is how. And here's our problem with noise. And I don't even really have to say very much about that, I don't think. But I'm going to anyway. Look at how much of this psalm has to do with making a lot of musical noise. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. All of this, so many instances, and there's all exclamation marks. With emphasis. All of these different things, trumpet, lute, harp, tambourine, dance, strings, pipe, clanging cymbals, and if that wasn't enough, again repeated clanging cymbals. Now these are not beautiful melodious tones. This is a lot of noise. And I realized that as we get older, we have a lower threshold for noise. Kids love to make noise, don't they? The younger you are, you just like shout and scream and enjoy life. And when you learn how to play iTunes, or turn the radio on, how archaic am I? But however you get your noise or your music, you want it louder and louder. And as you get older, that volume goes down and down and down, doesn't it? Even this morning as I sat out on the deck listening to the beauty of the birds singing, and then all of a sudden, what did I hear? One of my neighbors, boom, 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 on and on until he had come all the way to Chaplin Street. I could hear it, thud, thud, thud. And I was going over my sermon. I'm like, can't you keep quiet? I'm studying my sermon. The sermon about making noise, praising God. I have no idea what kind of music he was listening to. But there I was judging him for making noise. And that is, I'd say, our problem with noise, because especially when we come to church, you know, we want things quiet. And when there is a disturbing noise, doesn't everybody turn around like, shh. And we don't dare go, shh, but we think it. Our problem with noise. And sometimes it's not only the noise, but it's even the words. That we haven't practiced the storytelling, the sharing
of our stories and of the goodness of God. I'm trying to think back to the stories that even my parents told me of how God had rescued them or directed them or guided them, and they're very, very few. And only when close to death, then suddenly a few of the stories come out. Why? Why wait until we're almost dying to share the stories of God's goodness in our lives, even with our own offspring? With the ones that we love, we share our other stories. We share our lives. Let's share of the genuine goodness of God. Otherwise, our faith system looks like a system that we hide behind. And the psalmist says, look, this is what we have to bring. We have, look at this, praise God, this is in verse 2, praise him according to his surpassing greatness. And I remember going through a very, very difficult time in my life and clinging to that verse that says to God, please show me your goodness in accordance to the struggle, to the degree of the struggle that you have brought me through. Balance things out. So if I'm struggling this much, at least give me this many days of safety and security and joy in my life. And that's what the psalmist says. Praise God in accordance with the greatness of what he has done in your life. So we've got three problems. Problem with leveling, problem with the past, and problem with noise. Where is the solution to our problems? The psalmist wraps it all up very nicely, front and back, beginning and end. The solution is in praise the Lord. Right at the beginning, verse 1, and at the end, praise the Lord. No ifs, ands, or buts. However, do we realize it says, praise the Lord. Lord, Master, our Master. And we reposition ourselves. Let's take ourselves out of that center. Take ourselves off of the throne. Take ourselves out of the judgment seat. And realize God is God, our Lord and Master. Then, as we begin to praise, then we can recognize all of the beauty around us. We are freed from everything that constrains us and holds us in and silences us. We are freed from the blindness of not seeing the beauty of God's actions on our behalf. It begins and ends with God at the center. God as Lord and Master. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lois. And we'd like to respond to that by singing from Sing the Journey 14. Our life is a journey. We are all on a different journey. And yet, how will we travel that? Let us stand and sing. This song speaks to that for sure. 14, Sing the Journey.
Thank you.
Please bow for the benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand without blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.
Let us go out with joy and spread God's love. 427 in the blue hymnal. Let's sing it twice.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.